Good evening, everybody. Welcome to What's Buzzing in Breck, the podcast that interviews businesses around Breck Greenwich County so you can get the inside scoop about what their business is all about. Today, we are here with Quentin Brown. He owns a barbershop in Breck Greenwich County. Let's just get right in with these questions. Where do you want your business to be in 5 years?
5 years? I'd like to see some of my cutting techniques. I'd like to take that to another level. I feel like now I've done this for 7 years. I've been at my shop for 2 years. I feel like I've only kind of scratched the surface of, you know, cutting hair. It can get very technical. So I'd like to step that up next couple of years, and who knows, maybe even try to influence some people to get into barbering around here. It's huge right now. I actually felt like I got into it at a really good time. It started to really take off. I'm sure everybody here has TikTok. Everybody's seen a million videos of dude cutting hair. Well, it's had an effect on the industry too. So maybe one day I'd like to open up a bigger barbershop and maybe recruit some young guys to start cutting with me, maybe. So we'll see about that. But definitely take my skills to another level. And there's always more to learn, so yeah.
Yeah. Well, with what you said, mm-hmm. did you have like any education or training that you needed for your business to start?
Yeah. Just to be a barber, number one, you have to go to barber school. So that's 1,500 hours, and it equates to about a year in school, and it's full time. So you gotta make a lot of sacrifices. So you gotta, you know, be in school. I'd drive to Louisville every day, Preston Highway, for a year straight. And then you take a test. You take two tests, a practical test and a written test. And if you pass those tests, you got your barber's license. You can get out on the floor and start cutting hair. But when it comes to the business side, they teach you a little bit about it in barber school, but not a lot. So I wish I would have taken a class like you all are in now when I was your all's age, because I had no clue. You know, I didn't know that I was even going to be faced with, you know, business decisions and stuff like that. And now I'm starting to get into that stuff. So it's pretty eye-opening, you know. So I feel like a student too. I'm learning as well as I go. So hopefully that answers that well for you. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good.
Good.
So where do you learn about how to run a business? Like, have you taken any like online courses, or is it just research?
Well, I actually recently paid for a course that was just about taxes, just doing taxes. Pay attention to that stuff, guys, because that will nip you. You know, it'll get you if you're not prepared for it. I know a guy who, my instructor told me about a barber who basically didn't do his taxes. And the IRS came and audited him, and he was shut down and never reopened a shop. So it's really important. other than that, I've done a lot of just online stuff, like listening to podcasts about small businesses, running small businesses. There's a plethora of information out there. I was at the gym the other day and had earbuds in listening to Small Businesses for Dummies. You know, so I mean, there's a lot of good information there.
Did you plan to like stay in Breck, or like do you plan on opening somewhere else?
That's a good question. In the very beginning, I did not plan on ever investing in Breckenridge County. I had a very negative outlook on where I was from. I was wanting to get out of here as quick as possible. Small town, you know, you don't feel like there's a whole lot of opportunities. But with time, I found out that like there's a lot more here than you think there is, and a lot more opportunities. And when I started cutting hair here back at home, I realized like I shouldn't leave. I made more money in Hardinsburg than I did working in E-Town. And when I was in barber school, I had a guy come to the school, and he was opening up a new barbershop in E-Town. And it was a real cool, hip shop. It kind of looked like a tattoo shop, and they're like, oh, you can make more money in E-Town, you know, if you cut hair there versus here. You know, we're charging, I think at the time, $11 for a haircut in Hardinsburg. There it was like $14. So I was like, oh man, I can make more money in E-Town. Then I started driving and it sucked. And the guy I was working for wasn't exactly the most, he was basically like a grown up kid and he didn't have a whole lot of business like focus. So I could see where that was going. So I decided to come back and I started working at Wes's barbershop. And that was really, really eye-opening. I realized like, man, you can make a good living here. You just have to go about it differently. And so that's what I tried to do, is I looked for what we needed. You know, if you're starting a business, I think you need to look and see like, okay, what are we missing? And I thought, well, you know, there's a lot of people doing appointments now. The pandemic happened, that changed. So I saw some opportunity there. And also with cutting techniques and stuff, I want to also offer some different services and things like that. I kind of found my niche, and I realized like I don't have to be in E-Town or Owensboro or Louisville. Like I could create this cool little thing here. So that's what I'm trying to do, you know, trying to be the cool place to go. So I try to create that atmosphere, and now I want to buy a home in Breckenridge County and, you know, set my roots here. So I grew up on 6th Street. I went to school at Breck County, graduated in 06, and worked a lot of businesses around here. But there's something special about Breck County and Hardinsburg. So that's where home is. So I decided to stay here. So people like me, I might not stand out in Owensboro, might not stand out in Louisville. But here, I feel like I can. So I think that's it, you know. I also worked on the road. I worked as a boiler inspector in power plants for a little while. I realized that wasn't for me. I don't have the industrial mindset. I'm not good with mechanics and stuff. And but I was good with BSing with people. So that's where it comes in. So, you know, and when it comes in the first chapter of barbering, and you open the book, it says it's 80%. People skills, it's 20% actual cutting skills. So I was like, I got that. So I went ahead and I was like, yeah, maybe I could open up a barbershop in Hardinsburg. But it took a long time for me to kind of make the jump, you know. I was afraid. But what do you think? Does that answer good?
Yeah.
Well, good. There's something special here. Especially after leaving Hardinsburg and coming back after working on the road, it was always good to get home. And the people here are different than everywhere else. I don't know, it's the close-knit community that, you know, absolutely. It has a lot. And especially in barbering, because it's all you're doing is, you know, I'm one-on-one with a guy right in front of my face. And you get to learn everybody's stories, and it's really neat. It's a pretty cool job, you know, because everybody's different. It's always, you know, after you get done with a haircut, it's a fresh, another guy, a fresh start. So next conversation, you know,
yeah.
So it's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah. I bet it's nice bonding with like your hometown.
What's that?
I bet it's nice like bonding with your hometown.
Oh, it is. And I've been to school with a lot of the people, or, you know, I worked with their family members or something like that. So we all know each other. We're all connected. And I think that helped me too, because I worked at Elite Physical Therapy for 3 years. I thought I was going to get into physical therapy. I was like, I'm not studious enough for that and the education and stuff, but I'm good at this casual talking. And I think that skill is what kind of got me into this. But yeah, the small town atmosphere is everything. Because again, like I worked in E-Town. And those people up there are different, you know, and nothing, it's just different, you know. It's a mesh of, you got Louisville, you got Fort Knox right around there. It's not the same as Hardinsburg.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So can you describe your customer base a little bit? Like, is it mainly like new customers or returning customers? What age range?
Yeah, I'll start when I first started. I decided I was going to do appointments. And people around here are not used to that. They were not used to that at all. They're used to just walking into, you know, Wes's barbershop and sitting around waiting for a Saturday and getting a haircut. What I wanted to do is I wanted to create an app, and I wanted to do appointment based, so I knew everybody coming in and I knew what to expect out of my day. Now I have a lot of returning customers. I can already know, almost know what they want unless they got something new for me. But when I started and I did appointments, what I first found out was all the people who were booking with me were little kids. It's because their moms were used to making hair appointments. So all the old guys, all the old, you know, fogies, no offense, old dudes, but they're not used to that. That's a big change for them to just up and be like, I think I'm just going to start making hair appointments for myself. And, you know, like right now I'm booked out about a week in advance. So a lot of guys are like, man, you think about it at the last minute and they're like, dang, it's too late, you know.
Plus a lot of older people, they don't use that technology.
Exactly. So when I went into it, I knew I was going to probably have a younger clientele. And as of now, yeah, most of my people are probably, I got them from 1 year old to, you know, 70. But most of those people are in the, you know, 50 and under. And a lot of younger clients. My afternoons are all kids, you know. All high schoolers and little kids and stuff. But that's also kind of what I wanted to go towards because, to be real with y'all, I don't have too many like conflicting clients. You know, they're like, oh, I don't like this haircut. This is lame, or, you know. Any kind of drama I've ever had has actually been with the older generation. And I don't know if it's an entitlement thing or something, but or if it's a young dude with tattoos and short and with rock music playing. But there's almost like a lack of respect. I've had more issues with the older crowd than I have the younger ones. So I'm like, they can go somewhere else. I mean, I'm booked up, so I don't care at this point. Also, they would, when you do like a walk-in barbershop, what you would do is say we open up at 8 o'clock. They would show up at 7:30. You would get there with your breakfast, go in to eat, and they're following you in there, and then they're following you to the break room, and oh, you don't need to eat, you know, yeah. And they're kind of being serious, but they're joking around. But you feel that stress, and you're like, oh, I guess I'll eat real quick, and then you go and jump into, you know, cutting hair, and then they start walking all over you, and that's where you have to. And I think as a business owner too, because I'm a people pleaser, you have to set boundaries. And you keep saying yes and yes and yes, suddenly you don't have an afternoon, you don't have a weekend, people are, you know, walking all over you. So that's been tough for me, is, you know, not having to, or just saying no sometimes, you know, I'm like, sorry, man, I gotta go eat. I got a baby at home, so got to go take care of that, gotta be daddy, you know.
Yeah, it's good to set boundaries.
It is. Boundaries is a big deal, especially when you're doing services like I'm doing, where everybody gets to know you and they feel like you're your buddy, and, you know, it's not just your business relationship. You get to know these people and you get to know their families and their stories, and, you know, sometimes I'm a therapist. I should be getting paid a lot more because I'm, you know,
yeah.
You know, I've heard it all. But yeah, my clientele and how it, but I had the younger people first because they're used to doing it. And it doesn't, it takes like, I could book an appointment right now on my app in 1 minute, 2 minutes, I think. So I knew I would get the younger clients, and I was cool with that because I was, you know, you get kind of tired of just doing the old country boy cut, just short on the sides, a little bit longer in the front. So I was ready to do some cooler haircuts, you know.
Did you have like a support system when you started your business?
Yeah. My parents, they helped me out a lot. They sacrificed a lot for me to, you know, I was living at home, driving to barber school, and tried a lot of different jobs, and I moved back home 4 different times because I would try a job and it wasn't for me. And I was like, man, I got to do something else. This ain't cutting it. So I was 29. I think I was 29 when I started barber school in 17. They helped me out big time. And Wes, the first barber, well, the first big shop I worked at, Wes Henning, he helped me out a lot too. Just getting started and it's good to have mentors, you know. I mean, it's not like he wasn't standing over my shoulder and tell me how to run a business, but just a support system is good. And also, I also, like, I try to surround myself in barber school with the people I knew who were going to do something instead of the guys who were just, you know, just sitting there and getting hires. And so that was different. The guy at the guy who owned the barber school was actually like, hey, you know, see those guys in the corner? Go hang out with them. They got their eyes on the prize. They want to actually open a barber shop one day. All these other dudes, they're just in here wasting time. So, like, when you're in barber school, it's probably 80% of people fail and don't finish it or don't get their license. And it's, you know, just the 20% who are actually working in a shop. And probably half of those guys even own a shop. So now I have a really good support system of fellow barbers that are doing the same thing as me. I got a buddy in Campbellsville who's got a really cool barber shop. He's doing really cool stuff. And I kind of used his business as like a model for my own. Like, Campbellsville is like a giant Hardinsburg. They just have a college. So I was like, well, if it works for you, maybe I can try it over here and it's going to work for me too. So I would let him do all the screw-ups, make all the screw-ups like a big brother does, you know. And, you know, the little brother gets to learn from the mistakes of the older brother. So I did that. And so, you know, like, support system and my fiance, she's, you know, she supports me and really everybody. And I try to cut everybody out who didn't or who, you know, negative. Oh, they're never going to work here in Hardinsburg. So cut those people out. But it's good to have them. It's good to have people to look up to and talk to about stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned cutting people out who didn't support your business journey. Did you have to make any other sacrifices while starting your business?
That's a hard question.
Like, maybe like work life, home life?
I mean, if I wanted to be like all these Instagram and TikTok barbers, I wouldn't have a life at home, because all they're doing is, you know, when they get out of the barbershop, they got to go home and edit all their videos and add cool music to it. And like, I did that. I had some of my high school students were like, dude, you ought to get a TikTok. I was like, I guess China's gonna know all my secrets, you know. And I was like, well, I guess I'll get it. So I got a TikTok, made TikTok, a couple videos on there, and it took, I'm a perfectionist, OCD a little bit, so it took me like 2 hours to make a video, you know, and get it edited right. And I was like, dude, I can't imagine these influencers and how much time they waste at home just like this. Like, I can't do that, you know. I'll come home with if I get some difficult kids or something, or difficult situation at work, you know, somebody's late, somebody, hey, can you cut it real short? Can you cut it shorter than that? Something gets me behind. If I get behind or I have a stressful situation, sometimes you bring it home. And I think the business side, when you're owning a business, it doesn't stop. You know, I work 9 to 5 basically, and it doesn't stop. I come home and I still have stuff I need to do. And I need to look, you know, oh man, I got to do towels, you know. But sacrifices, not a whole lot, because it's, I don't know, it's probably one of the easiest businesses you could own and manage. You know, I basically provide a service and I sell some products, and that's it. So,
What do you think is like the next step in your business? Like, what do you?
Next step would probably be a bigger shop. But that comes with kind of like bring your work home. It comes with a lot more stress, because if I do want to open up a barbershop that has, I'm employing people. Right now I'm in a small shop that's like, you know, the size of this room and this part right here. And it's just me. And, but you do that and say if you hire somebody and they do, you can do rent or commission. And if you do commission, you got to do W-2s. You got to have a W-2 for your employees. And if I created a business, I want to make sure I'm not maybe a bad manager, a micromanager, or, you know, maybe somebody who just doesn't have any business being somebody's kind of boss. So I want to make sure if I do something like that, I'm ready, because that's how somebody's going to make their living. So I don't want to screw that up for them and, you know, them dog on me when they're at home, like, man, Quentin, you know, he's always, you know, on my butt about something. But that's probably the next step. I'm just making sure I would be ready for that. And I'm also trying to make sure the, you know, our market is ready for that around here. I do feel like in the next 5 years, there'll be another barbershop in Hardinsburg because of things like TikTok. I've literally seen in the last 2 years, an increase in, I guess, knowledge. Like, people come to the barbershop and they're like, hey, I need a blowout taper with a razor lineup and, you know, taper the back down to skin and cut the fringe, do a little crop top and texturize it. Before a couple years ago, I didn't hear that stuff. People would be like, oh, can you do this? I'm like, okay. So now people are educated. So it's actually a good thing, but I think what's going to happen from that is there's going to be just a boom of barbers, because somebody can be like, hey, I don't have to go to college. I can go to barber school and get a trade and basically wear what I want, listen to what I want, kind of do what I want within a certain margin at work, and not have to punch in a time clock and have a big boss, you know, scaring me every day. But I think it's going to explode, and I think there's going to be another, I think there'll be another barbershop here in Hardinsburg next 5 years, guarantee it. Just from things like social media. So it's crazy. It's a good time to get into it, and I'm kind of glad I got the start when I did. I wish I would have gone into it right after high school.
What makes your business, like, different from other businesses? Because isn't there, like, two other barbershops, like, barbershops?
There is two, and now there's another one in Custer, I think. let me clear my throat. So what makes me different is it's just me. Well, no, the other guy, the other two are just alone, too. But appointments. I do appointments, mostly just straight-up appointments, and I'm using a website to do it. So you could either download the app or you could get on my website and do it. Prom, like I had like four people or five people yesterday for prom. They set their appointments up like 2 months ago. And they don't have to worry about it. You know, you got a wedding coming up, an appointment. You know, it appointments prevent disappointment. That's how I look at it. So I think that's what sets me apart. And also, I think I'm also trying to stay with what is current, and in terms of not just haircuts, but of like my style of cutting. Like, I've attended a couple of classes, cutting classes outside. Like, I didn't have to go. I just wanted to, because I want to stay current. And, you know, because if I go to Owensboro, I might just be like everybody else. But in Hardinsburg, I can stand out, and how I conduct my business, my haircuts look different. So basically the app, you know, what sets me apart different is me doing appointments and doing it on an app, and actually have a scheduled lunch break. So that's pretty nice. But yeah, I guess that's what sets me apart. And just trying to be the cool place to go, you know, and not let it just be like, just go to work, cut hair, go home. You know, I try to keep my barbershop looking cool and clean, and create a cool atmosphere for people, you know, that people want to be comfortable when they go to get a haircut. So, you know, it's not cool when you sit there and you feel like everybody in the whole county is looking at you and listening to your conversation. I'm in a small area. It's real personal. And actually, when I get, like, little kids, it works a lot better. I have a lot of little kids. I have a lot of clients that have autism, or maybe they have a lot of sensory issues. Well, since I'm in a small area, I feel like I can give a better service to them because it's more intimate. And I love that. And I think they do too. I think people like to come in, they feel like they're a lot more relaxed and stuff, and they can. I think being in an area like we're in, that most people's kind of working class people, kind of blue collar people, a lot of guys don't feel comfortable talking to another guy about how they want their hair done. They feel like it's, you know, I don't know. Yeah. But that's why you're here, to get a haircut and talk to me about what you want, you know. Yeah. So I think that also helped make it a more comfortable atmosphere, you know. And I think that sets me apart. Yeah.
I really like that, actually. Like, yeah. How it's just, like, closed in.
Yes.
Because I have brothers, and like how you said, they just don't want to talk about their haircut.
Oh, yeah.
It's some weird thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, like the autism thing, I really like that. Because I know a lot of people struggle with getting haircuts.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's another thing, too, that's changing the industry is for barbering and for, like, salons is the idea of a suite. And, you know, somebody, instead of renting out a big, giant building and having all this overhead and hoping they can fill chairs up with barbers or stylists, now you can just rent basically what I have, a small little area, and you can just conduct business how you want to, you know. And it's more personal and kind of like a doctor's office. It's so small, you know. But there's a whole nother debate about the suite barbers and stuff. I won't even get into that. But it's worked for me. It's worked for me. I do feel like I'm kind of tripping over stuff now. I'm getting a little bit big for my area, but I got a really sweet deal on rent, and my sister-in-law is actually who I rent from. She has the salon right next door, so they had a spot to fill, and I saw an opportunity, and I was like, I think I might be able to make that work. If I can get people to look past having to share the same door with a beauty shop, even though we're separate when you walk in, you know, at first, like, I ain't going to no beauty shop to get a haircut, but it's not like that. You walk in, it's separate completely. But yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great that you can feel like you can really connect to your customers.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
What is your plan for your business after you retire?
After I retire, dang, that's a good question. I guess there won't be one, unless I got a bunch of young dudes in there working and keeping, you know, the old 60 name going. Which is, you know, that's possible, but, you know, I don't know. That's a really good question. I don't even think I've thought past that before.
Could you see yourself, like, passing down this business?
Passing down the business? Maybe, you know. I know a lot in the hair industry, a lot of people pass down a shop, and they'll just change the name, you know. But for me and my setup now, nah, nothing would be passed down. It would just be a shop, you know, just an empty room. But if you had a brick and mortar place like Wes's barbershop, you know, maybe you do want to keep that going. And, you know, maybe Wes at one time would like his son or something to get into barbering and still keep it Wes's barbershop because it's got a clientele. They've built a clientele for, I think, 15 years now. So, you know, and that's what helped me when I went there to work. But like somebody like him in a shop like that, brick and mortar shop that's already been there and had a name for a long time, I could see that because I've known of other shops in like Louisville and stuff that, you know, like Woody's Barbershop and Baxter Avenue. It's been Woody's forever. Woody's dead. He's been gone forever. So they just kept the name going, you know.
Well, I think that's a great way to end off our podcast.
Cool.
Does anybody have any questions?
Hit me.
All right, well, thank you so much for coming.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
It was really nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Same here.